I'm Jeannie Holzbacher, and on behalf of myself and my fabulous co-host, Jill Wright, we want to welcome you to Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. We search the planet to bring you some of the most dynamic leaders in various industries who often only have one thing in common: uncommonly outrageous positive impact on people and businesses. They are leaving this world a much better place. So kick back and join us. Grab a few insights you can immediately apply to leverage your leadership and foster greater connection in a world that's become increasingly disconnected. They so desperately need you to shine your light bright. Cheers. All right. Welcome to another episode of Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. We are here live in my spot, Jill's spot, and Judy Wright today is our special guest. And I'm going to tell a little story. Judy and Jill are actually technically related through marriage and family on Jill's dad's side. So they have a long history together, but not been able to spend a lot of time. And so we had a chance to dig in to Judy's website and see some of the most amazing things that she is doing and the impact that she's having in this world. And so, Jill, give me a little insight into who Judy is as a person.
Well, there are special people in the world that are gifted with both love, wisdom, and humor. And my Aunt Judy is one of those people. And she has always made an impact. You know, I remember growing up, her and my Uncle Tom, they were pastors. They've always given themselves to make the world a better place. And Judy is just such a special person. So I feel like we are really lucky. And always when we go to family gatherings, if you're going to have a good time, you make sure you sit at Aunt Judy's table.
That's so, okay. No pressure there, Aunt Judy.
Right.
None. But you know what? It's really true. I do know how to make fun. I do. I just think funny. Yeah.
You know, when I peeked at your website, I saw that you and your husband do all kinds of things. Marriage counseling, family therapy. You have done it all. And I saw something that really triggered, especially with post-COVID 1 year now, and my healthcare background, I saw something really triggered it for me. And you had this title called the caretaker personality.
Yeah.
So I'm making an assumption here that there's a special type of person that usually fits that profile. Is that true?
That is true. The kind of people that fit that profile are wonderful people. They are compassionate. They are loving. They are caring. They can spot somebody who needs something across a crowded room, and they will make a beeline over there. They can feel it. It's like the person that's a caretaker personality has a faucet inside themselves, and the faucet is filled with compassion and caring. And the caretaker learned in life, for a number of reasons, how to turn the faucet on. They know how to give. They, however, did not learn how to turn it off. And so the caretaker personality, one of the risks is burnout. And if you've ever taken a metal spatula and tried to dig into a metal pan to get some of the dregs out, that's what the caretaker personality will do. We know how to say yes. We don't always know how to say no.
Well, not that you hit a little close to home or anything, but last month, was it February? I did my annual review with my boss.
Yeah.
And we had to put two development goals on our plan for the year. And I did a really deep dive on myself. And instead of coming up with how much money I'm going to do and how much profit margins, my two development goals on my professional Fortune 27 business plan were: I'm going to be saying no in all capitals more, And the second was, I'm going to stop and smell the roses. Those were my business goals this year.
Wonderful. Great business goals, because if you do those two things, you will be a better business person.
You know, and so that leads me to another question. I work with about 75 of the most amazing leaders around the country that are taking care of overseeing sites and staff that are caring for patients at the last chapter, the last paragraph of life. Yeah. Plus, I know many of them in other companies around the U.S. And so when you were describing them, I feel like that's so much the amazing people I'm surrounded with. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it takes a very special, compassionate individual. Their compassion radar and their empathy radar is very, very high.
Yes.
So if you were working with a group of us, and Judy, we brought you into an afternoon workshop, especially with COVID, what would you advise us on a couple? Give me one thing that we could do that would be really good for us in order to cope well with what our job is post-COVID.
Post-COVID.
Well, 1 year into COVID now.
Okay. So what you want to know is one thing that you can do to take care of, better care of yourselves.
Yes.
Okay, so you're imagining a lot of different sites, hospitals, hospice care units. Is this what you're describing to me?
Yes, they're all end of life. They're all end of life caregivers.
Okay. Listen to what the people are saying. There's an art to caring without carrying. When I first started being in this business, I could handle one client a week because I took it all home with me. And then something happened. A client called me at home and started talking about what was happening in their story at home. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then a gun was involved and something literally snapped in my head. And I felt it and I knew that I couldn't give what I had been giving. I had to learn how to listen and I had to learn how to care, and they needed help. They needed more than empathy. So it's how you manage and give to them while you, it's an art really, as far as I'm concerned. You have to just be able to be in their presence, and then you need to be able to let go. You can't care for all of them at the same time and have what you need to go back to work the next day.
I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn that the hard way a couple of different times. And, you know, sometimes you have to learn a lesson more than once.
You do.
I remember when I first got into the industry, I've been a nurse 30 years and it was 17 in that industry now. And when I first was involved, I was going to go to every funeral. I was going to do everything. I was going to do every death visit. And because in my mind, naively at the time, that was the definition of a good nurse. I didn't realize it was the definition of codependency. And I was really trying to meet my unhealthy need to be validated.
Well, one of the things about being a caretaker personality is you do get value from that behavior. And when I said earlier that people are like this and they burn out because they learn different things at different times. Like, for example, sometimes when you grow up in a family where one of the parents is either absent or one of them is ill, and you start becoming a caretaker way too young, that cuts off your childhood. You become a premature adult. And when we have to do that, we aren't paying attention to our own feelings, to our own needs. We have to focus on other people and do things we are not equipped to do. And that is how we get trained to get our value. You did such a good job. You cook such good meals. You take such good care of your mother. You do this, you do that. And nobody says, how does that make you feel? When did you play today?
Oh, I love it.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you that again. Ask me that one more time, please.
When did you play today?
I love that.
I love that too. I don't think, I know for in my life, Judy, you know my story, and I didn't play. And yeah. And still as an adult, I have an appreciation for it, but I grew up too fast, and I'm a professional
caretaker.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And yeah. That's exactly right. And you wait all the way until you're 50 years old to unpack that and figure out that, you know, my needs are important too. And they're just as important as other people. So,
right, right. And when we get to that point, by that time, we have trained other people to treat us the way they do.
Yes.
They know who to call if they need something done, the one who's too busy, the one who can't say no, you bet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. How do you unpack that? I mean, how are you do? I know you're doing wonderful work in this area. And when I talked to you about it, I was so excited because I think this is so critical. So many people, I mean, I would venture to guess even like at least 50% of the people right now are going through this very thing.
I would up that 50%.
At least. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Honestly, the other piece of work that I do that is related to what we're talking about here is the inner child work. You asked, you know, how do we unpack that? Well, when we learn to be an adult too young, it's like, we cut ourselves off at the neck and we live from here up. We think our way through life. We have to solve problems. We have to do things. We have to do things we don't know how to do. We have to figure them out. Some people never had parents who helped them learn about life, so they had to make their own rules up. But you only have the life experience of a child. And this is what we take into adult life. So from here up is our thinking, big adult part. From here down, which is the bigger part of us, that is the storehouse for the child and all of our feelings. And when you say, how do we unpack it? Honest to goodness, I have this wonderful illustration that I call the pies of life. And I have written a little bit about this on the website. It's in there. It's just even naturally called the pies of life. And I tell my clients that I have a structure that I can show you that will explain to you where you're starting, how you're feeling, where you want to go, and what you have to do to get there. There are three pies: burnout pie, transition pie, and centered pie.
I'd like a definition of centered, please.
A definition of centered? Definition of centered is, I count. I know what I want. I know what I need. I know what I think. I know what I feel. and you count. You don't count more than me, and I don't count more than you. And guess what? I've done some unpacking. I learned what the rules were that I grew up with. I learned what the values were that I grew up with. And I know how to meet the needs of any situation in healthy ways. That is centered. That is fair. That is justice. Each pie is separated into three pieces, and those pieces are all the same, and they look different in each pie. To get from burnout pie over to centered, it sounds scary to some people, but I tell them, give yourself 3 years. You have stuff to figure out and learn and unlearn. Then you got stuff to make new and apply new things, make up some new rules. And all of that takes time, and time is opportunity. You can read all you want, but you cannot hurry time.
So true. Mm-hmm. So
when
true.
When you go to, for me personally, I'm like almost 2 years into this journey. So that means I got another year. Okay.
So you're in transition pie.
All right. I'll take that. And so here's my question to you, though, Judy, is that in the process of that transition, because I'm a spiritual person like you. And for me, I serve a God that's very gentle and only reveals the layers I can handle at the time. Mm-hmm. So therefore, deeper layers are coming into my awareness now.
Right.
What I realized for me is that whenever I'm feeling burned out or getting into too heavy of compassion fatigue, that is a warning signal for me to say, what boundaries do you need to set, Jeannie?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't change what I've done, so I'm not going to shame or guilt me. But what I will do is say, okay, going forward from here, here's how I'm going to take this and apply this information now.
Yes, right? Correct. And change doesn't come easy. I mean, it can apply that once you decide, you can do it.
And not that's only does it come easy, but you also can be, if you're changing lifelong patterns, it's very easy for your actions to be misinterpreted by those who've been in your life and love you very much, and they're going to misdiagnose or misunderstand what's really going on. And what I have learned as a people pleaser, being okay with being misunderstood has been one of the biggest freedoms I found.
And that's wonderful, because that's one of the things that keeps us in that first pie. If we start being different than people know us to be, we're afraid they're not going to like us. We're afraid they're not going to approve of us. And some won't. You know, there's a whole, I have homework assignments that I have people do to figure out how to do the very thing you're talking about. I mean, there's a lot of unpacking, and I have exercises, structures to help people do it. And it's really amazing. And it does take time. Because people, when we didn't consult with them to change, not only do I change my life, but I change your life. And a lot of people don't like that. So a lot of times people will say things or do things that make us feel bad in order to get us to go back to who we were. So we have to figure out, what are some of our hook points? What can somebody say to you? Hey, boy, you're being selfish. That might bother some people. Being selfish is never a good thing.
Right.
So then people say, okay, I won't be selfish anymore. I'm going to be selfless. Well, if we're selfish, there's a feeling attached to that, which is guilt. When we're selfless, there's a feeling with that, and that's resentment.
Yes.
So people bounce back and forth between selfish and selfful and guilt and resentment. And so take your pick. Which one do you prefer? One of my key principles is we always need three options when we think about things, even if one's a dumb one. Okay, because if we could come up with two, it's always a trap. Good, bad, right, wrong, black, white. If we come up with a third one, even if it's a dumb one, then it breaks the creative block.
Ooh, so then my third option could be my hip hop dance lessons that I bought, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I have a little plaque that says it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
I love that.
Yeah.
So true.
Uh-huh. Judy, is there any point of time when you actually just arrive? Or is this a lifelong journey?
It's fluid. There's a time when you feel so good. I mean, people will see it, they'll hear it, they'll feel it, they'll want it. They'll say, what happened to you? Where did you get it? And where can I get it? So we're feeling good. And then what happens? Somebody says, can you? You say, sure, of course I can. I've got the time. I can do it. I'm okay. Can you? Will you? And more people come and you start saying yes again. And all of a sudden you start to recognize some funny little feelings. And you start to catch yourself and say, oh, no, this feels really old. And so then you kind of set those boundaries again. And so it's fluid. And sometimes it's not just how we're managing it. Sometimes it's because life has dealt us not only a hand of cards, but a deck of cards, that right now it is taking all of our resources to manage. It's that big. And it's not because we're doing a bad job, not because we're not taking care of ourselves the best we can. There's just more on our plate. And so then we really have to use every tool and skill we figured out to navigate that. And sometimes both of my girls had cancer. Did you know that?
I didn't know both.
Yep, Sarah had breast cancer in 2010, and Kara had Hodgkin's in 2014. And so they both recovered at my house because I'm the convalescent home. And, you know, sometimes I just have to say, today, left, right, left, right, left, right. Just keep left, right. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Yeah. And that's not a matter of not doing it well. It's a matter of having too much to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did that, what did that teach you?
Which part, Jill?
Well, the kind of how you learned to keep going and also then bring your boundaries back and take care of yourself when you were doing such critical work. I mean, this is life and death care, not just optional, right. You know, honey, you have a tummy ache.
Right, right.
How did you balance, you know, the self-care and the caring and get through it and keep going?
Fortunately, My family is such that they help. And we take care of each other. And so when I couldn't, if I didn't know enough to ask, one of the family would, well, they'd just come over and take over. It's what they do.
That's
awesome. Yeah. 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 Because, and recognizing that we all have limits.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have limits. There's only so much that we can do. And one of the things I did do, Jill, that helped me is it started with Sarah when she had cancer. And she was so focused on taking care of what needed to be taken care of because she had three young little children, the youngest being 1.5, Jeannie.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And so she was so focused on doing what she needed to do to stay alive that I started doing a blog. And I was more aware of the feelings than she was able to be. So I asked her if it was okay if I wrote about the feelings because I needed some outlet, you know? And so she said yes, but I didn't want to take anything away from her. But that really helped me because when I go through stress, I need a creative outlet. I need something to do that is going to make some kind of difference. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was in a chat room, a senior site chat room. And a lot of the people read my blog posts. And because they were older, they were dealing with issues. And their feedback was, thank you, you know, for writing, you know, for the things you say, for your humor, you know, you saved my life today. I didn't know. I mean, so those are the kinds of things that I did that helped me.
I had someone teach me once that speaking the truth liberates trapped energy. And I think that that's part of what you did is expressing that. And I think that when you do that, that you also, you not only release it for yourself, but when other people read that and read that truth, mm-hmm. and it really hits them in their heart, mm-hmm. and I think that also has an impact and allows them to release some of that as well.
It does.
Super powerful.
It is. It is. You know, the truth is the truth is the truth. And sometimes it just takes one person to speak the truth to give other people permission to feel their truth and to speak their truth. Yeah. And some people are afraid to because it's so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that everybody's able to handle that level of vulnerability either. For me, I'm going through some epigenetic training right now. I'm reprogramming some of that long-held patterns. And boy, you're hitting way too close to home for me tonight because I'm in the process of getting testing for cancer. And okay. So I've had a major transition the last 6 weeks where I've gone extremely holistic. And even though some of the things that I would like to know, I don't have answers to and won't for several weeks, whether this is breast cancer or not. And I can't even believe I'm saying this. I mean, Jill knows. I share it with a few people, but I haven't shared it openly.
But, you know, thanks for your courage.
But what I'm realizing is, first of all, when you talked about a creative outlet, how much I need that.
Okay. Do you have one?
Yes, and it's pretty amazing right now. I'm not ready to go public with it, But when I was listening to you talk about the blog, I'm thinking that may come. That may come because journaling is one of my passions and writing is a passion. And I give myself that 30 to 45 minutes every morning. That's my sacred time that is uninterrupted, where I go through. And guess what? If I'm scared, I don't deny the emotion. You know, you're a Christian like me. I'm not here to speak false. I'm not here to abuse the scripture to pretend like I'm not scared. I have the ability to be real with the God I have, because I don't want that energy trapped.
Right, right, right. We need that energy.
So, yeah, I think that I wouldn't have chosen this, but I'm grateful. I'm so incredibly grateful. I see it as a gift.
Yep.
Because honestly, Judy, I know you just met me tonight, but my skin looks 10 years younger already.
Oh. It does. It does. It's incredible looking at you, Jeannie. She's been doing some great things.
In the midst of struggle, Jill, in the last 6 weeks, even when you and I were together a month ago, I feel like I've gotten a facelift. If that's
Oh, God. Crazy. That's wonderful.
Oh, you should see. She got on tonight and I'm like, wow. Wow.
Oh, do you love looking at yourself?
Well, I kind of do.
Oh, good.
I kind of walk by the mirror and I'm like, hey there, hot stuff.
You know, talking about the inner child, part of how I deal, well, a lot of how I deal with this is I start people by looking in the mirror. Stand in front of your bathroom mirror and look at your face. You know, look at your eyes and your nose and your mouth and your features, and not just getting ready, but look at yourself. And then just say, hi. And then say, I love you. And then for you, Jeannie, you could say, I know you're scared. And you could talk to that scared part. And then you connect with her. And then you say, you look so pretty today. Your skin looks so nice. And it's connecting with that beautiful part of ourselves. That's the feeling part. And that's the part we need to work with the adult part. We need to be so integrated.
It's true. And I think monitoring, like I've got a program on my phone now that I put a different beautiful message to myself every day. And I program it to go off every 2 hours to remind myself all day long.
So good.
So today it's something about how vibrant and beautiful I am.
I think that's wonderful.
Because you know what? We turn on the news. We turn on whatever. We go to wherever we go in the day. There's so much negative, negative, negative. Yep. And if you don't, or at least me personally, if I don't proactively wire in the good stuff, it's not happening. I mean, people will give you negative information all day long, even about that's yourself. True. I've got to wire in the good stuff. And it's building resilience that I've never known.
Oh, our daughter, Kara, has a website that she has on Facebook or something. And it's a site that only puts positive messages out. Everything they put out is positive.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah,
well, what is the name of it?
Yes, we do.
You want me to find out if she's in the other room? I don't know if she, otherwise I'll email you or text you.
Okay. Well, we could go quick to commercial. You can go ask Kara, and then you can come back with that positive website for us all.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you sick and tired of being tired? Are you tired of your clothes not fitting the way you want them to? Are you frustrated when you look at that number on the scale? Seeing the number on the scale can be frustrating. Imagine a whole new generation of products that focus on what really counts, body composition. We have introduced an innovative trio of products that focus on fat loss and body composition, more muscle, less fat. This is the first in the world combination to reduce fat loss. It accelerates fat reduction, reduces fat cell size, reduces fat cell formation, improves muscle tone, boosts metabolism, burns more calories, and promotes lean body composition. This lean body system is the game changer you've been looking for. Go to trimwithus.com for $10 off on your first order today.
What an interesting night we are having.
Wow.
I mean, your aunt has been through it. I just can't imagine as a parent walking your children through cancer treatment.
Okay. Are we back?
We're back.
Okay, so it's really Instagram.
Okay.
And it's just good, 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 co, C-O.
Good, good, good,
co.
Three goods?
Yep.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll check it out. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
So Judy, you said something at the beginning of our program that I need to go back to because it sounds simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
And you said, what did you do to play today?
Yeah.
Is that part of building into a daily routine, a weekly routine? How does that work?
Well, I think you need to have it every single day. And I think you need to have it in your work. I think you have to blend work and play if you can and when and where it's appropriate.
Because I kind of have that one down.
Having that one down.
I have that one down, but sometimes I feel like an enigma or because it's not normal in my industry per se, but I think we so desperately need to laugh. I think it's good for the soul. And even when I'm doing leadership teaching, I build something funny in because you connect us, I think.
Tom and I used to do what we call the Saturday morning forum. We did it for like 4 years. And we talked about any and everything related to personal growth and grief and spirituality and conflict and depression and anxiety. And if you wanted to hear about it, we'd talk about it. And we had kind of a following. And the people would say, I can't believe we're talking about depression and sitting here laughing.
I think that's your gift.
Yep. Yep. And you can laugh. It doesn't mean it's not serious and that you don't have to deal with it. I've got the funniest little recording when Sarah was bald as she could be, and we had gone out to lunch. And we came home. This was pre-COVID, of course. We came home, and just the simplest, stupidest little interaction between us sent us into the fit of laughter. And she was heading out for her nap. She'd had a big outing. And, you know, it's healing to laugh. And the other thing I can say then, maybe, Jeannie, that might make this more possible, is that tears and laughter come from the same place.
Oh, wow.
So if you're doing one.
You're doing the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm a widow. My husband died, and actually at the end of this month, it'll be 17 years ago. We weren't married very long, 7 years. And he was a very tall man, like 6'6", between 6'6" and 6'7". And we had one gentleman that married into our family that was 5'5". And so the joke every year at the holidays when they'd come into town is Daryl would pick him up and swing him around like a pretzel, and it became a family thing. Well, yeah. My husband wanted to be cremated. So when he passed away, I cremated him and he was in a box like this. And Javier came up and he put his arm around me as I was sitting there. And he goes, Uncle Daryl, I'm finally bigger than you.
See, right. See, even funerals, right?
He would have been just cracking up.
Well, it's like, you know, your husband got to be at that very moment enjoying it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually am fortunate enough to have, I have a group of friends. Well, actually all my friends, even Jill, I need you to know something. I'm known as the funny one, but I saw her in action when we were together at a workshop not too long ago. And don't you think for 1 minute, some of you hasn't rubbed off on her. She doesn't like plan it, but when she's in her element, she can't help but the funny to come out. It did on 2 or 3 occasions. I'm like, dang, that was good. This is my territory, but that was fun to sit back and watch.
Are you aware when you do that?
Yes. Yes.
Do it on purpose, or does it come out naturally and automatically?
It just comes out. You know, so, it just comes out naturally.
See, that means your inner child is alive and well.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes.
Because some days I wonder. Honestly, I do. Because, you know, I've been working and I've been really responsible so much of my life that I didn't feel like it was safe. There was no safety net. You know, no one could catch me.
Yeah.
So I had to hold all of that responsibility and that energy and all of that on my shoulders. And I'll tell you, this year, when they shut down my business because of COVID, you know, we've been operating for 33 years, and I have 100 people that have depended on this business and have built this business. And this business is what it is because of the love that we've created for humanity together. And when they shut us down, I was just devastated. Like, I felt like you must have felt when your kids got diagnosed with cancer. I felt like my kids were in a burning building. And I'll tell you, it was really, really amazing to me that during that lowest point in my life, because of the culture that we have built and the relationships that we have brought together and the focus. I mean, our tagline is Executive Shine. It's all about the love. And they took care of me because I was so devastated by what had happened because of like what I created to take care of them, that was a really powerful lesson for me, that they came back around and they said, you know, because of what you've done for us,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be okay, and that we'll, yeah, take care of you. And
yeah,
sort of like what you said with, you know, your family just coming in and taking over.
And that was your family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And they, you know what? You raised them well.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
It's true.
I met some of them.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, they are the most amazing people. Their hearts are the size of Texas. So I can't say I'm surprised. And they are filled with so much gratitude. You would never know some of their tragic stories because that has been long bypassed and with other things put in place.
I love when that kind of thing happens, that people can go through so much, mm-hmm, and yet they learn that life can be different. I mean, as one person, we can make a difference to a lot of people.
One of my heroes is a lady named Corey Ten Boom. And she actually was the only surviving family member from the Nazi concentration camp. And her sister died in her arms and said, you know, they learned to be grateful for fleas and body lice because it kept the prison guards from raping them. Mm. And, you know, simple gratitudes in unique ways. And so when she got out, before her sister died, she's like, you got to tell them there is no pit that is so deep that our God is not deeper still. Mm-hmm. And when Corey got out, she's like, I don't want to tell people that, because she was angry. She was disillusioned. She was hurt. But then after she healed, she decided to start speaking. And so she got invited to different programs and churches and seminars. And one night she went and spoke on forgiveness. And afterwards, out in the lobby, people were coming up in the foyer, greeting her, thanking her. And all of a sudden, there's a hand that goes out to her. And the gentleman said, that was a beautiful, beautiful message on forgiveness, Fräulein. And she recognized the voice and she looked up, and there was the face of one of the prison guards from Auschwitz that she walked past naked every single day. And she had to stop for a second. And she's like, do I really believe the message I just said? And then she decided, yes, she did. Redemption is for him as well. And she took his hand. But I'm thinking, man, that's when you really know you've done some work. And the people that have survived horrible things like that. And right now, I think we have some people surviving that, trying to get into our country. And I think it was Viktor Frankl that once said, it's not even the tragedy and the suffering of the human spirit that's the biggest problem. It's the absence of meaning. When we can find meaning, our spirit can withstand a lot.
I think we have to be able to find meaning. That's the only way, well, I think that's one of the ways I know why I have to go through some things. Because I know I will be able to teach somebody else who needs to know that. Mm-hmm. And that's, if you don't learn something and if you can't help somebody, then there really isn't much meaning in what you have to go through.
Where is that? You're right.
Yep. So I remind myself, okay, there's something here I'm supposed to learn. I don't know what it is. He and I have had a few talks. A lot of times about the timing of things.
Oh, I hear that loud and clear.
You know, his timing is way different than mine. So, yeah.
So true. So true.
So we got a couple more minutes as we're wrapping up today. And Judy, one of the things I want to ask you is this. If one of my leaders came to me tomorrow and said, man, Jeannie, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to best support the staff. I mean, it's not even that we're in the initial crisis of COVID anymore, because that's long gone. It's the ongoing nature, like Chinese water torture, the constant drip of always having to worry about the masks and all that. If they said, what's one thing I can do to build resiliency in my staff at the next staff meeting, what could I share with them?
Tell them to breathe. Tell them to pay attention to their senses. When we are stressed, we can get anxious. We can get worried when the situation is too big for us. We either think about what used to be, or in your case, it sounds like it's easy to think about with the ongoing of COVID, that we're already tired. Mm-hmm. We're already struggling. So that just creates anxiety. And the way to eliminate anxiety is to say, we can't go back. That's not an option. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't solve it. So our power is in the present. So the way to be in the present, we have to keep ourselves reminded that I must stay in the moment. I have to be in this moment. I can't be anywhere else. This moment I can handle. So what do I see? Name some things. What do I hear? Name some things. What do I smell? Name some things. What do I taste? Name some things. Rub your feet on the floor. Breathe. And then you say, where are you? I'm at a staff meeting. We're talking about something. Can you handle that? Well, yeah. I can handle sitting here. I can handle being with one patient. I can handle what's coming up. If I stay in the moment, I can do that. For me, that's my left, right. I can't run. I don't have the strength and I don't have the energy. Stay on your feet. Pay attention to your senses. Stay in your moment. Because they're the life givers in the moment.
Yes, they are. How can my life givers find you, Judy? What's the name of your website? I know what the name of it is, but I want you to say it.
The name of the website is rightaroundthecorner.net, and it's WRIGHT, around the corner.
We will put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I really believe in what I'm doing. And
you know, we just scratched the surface. So, you know, we have to have you back at some point, right?
I'd love it.
So we will have you back. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and giving us a few of your pearls of wisdom. A woman that's been married 56 years, has 3 kids, 2 she's walked through cancer, 10 grandchildren. You've got a little bit of wisdom there.
And a great grandson.
All right.
And one on the way. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Concludes thank our you. Next segment of Executive Shine Conversations That Count. Have a great day, everybody.
And hugs all around.
Big hugs.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much. That was so fun. And
you're
what
welcome.
Beautiful message, you know? What did you do to play today?
That's going to be an important one, huh?
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to add that to my daily routine.
Good. You'll have to text me and let me know what you do.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Thank you. I love you.
You're welcome. I love you too. And it was wonderful to meet you, Jeannie.
You too.
And the very, very best of luck to you in the weeks of waiting here.
It's all part of the resilience process, huh?
Yep. Waiting is the hardest.